Warm it up.
Kane. Warm it up, Kane. That's what talk about Big Daddy Kane, remember?
No.
Like 2 weeks ago, I was talking about Big Daddy Kane versus Cool Moe Dee.
To who?
To you!
No, no.
I guarantee the listeners remember.
I would remember that.
Yeah, okay. Point being, I've been listening to Warm It Up, Kane, about 8 to 10 times a day, every day for the last month.
Really?
Listen to it. It's got a great hook. I don't know enough about music to really talk about it, but it's fantastic.
Okay.
Oddly, How You Like Me Now did not hold up. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, Cool Moe Dee. Big Daddy Kane takes this one. Hello and welcome to episode 530 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
Nice little Saturday.
Yeah? Going to Bed Bath & Beyond? Maybe, I don't know if we'll have time.
That's right, yeah. No real big plans. So just enjoying the fact that it's morning and I have the whole weekend staring me right in the face.
Let's do a 5-hour podcast then.
Yeah. That's what I need.
That's what we'll just use it up. Now, what's the weather like there? We talk about the weather a lot because it's been insane here. Insane.
Insanely good.
Yes, on a personal note, yeah. It's like I told you before, we had that like a couple weeks ago now, we had like that minus 17 and snowing, and then the very next weekend, it was nice and warm. We talked about that last week, I think. All week. It's warm all week. So much so that it hit 21, 22 on the thermometer. And I decided the lake that we tried to skate on last week and had signs said, hey, do not skate here.
Right.
I walked past those signs and went for a swim.
Nice.
That's how hot it got. It was absurd.
It didn't say don't swim.
It said do not skate on the ice. And it's like mission accomplished.
Okay.
Yeah, because of my it was cold though, by the way. I didn't go in for long. I don't want to give the impression that I went and did some laps because you had a mere moments before you started to feel the pain. It was so cold. Like if you dove into like glacier fed lake, have you ever done that?
Maybe. I can't recall. I'm going to say yes. Yeah, it's cold.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Is a very cold lake that I'm sure you've been in. What's the lake up by you? Harrison Lake.
Okay. It's been a long time.
Well, there's Harrison Hot Springs nearby. Yeah. So you'd think, oh, this is going to be delightful. You would be wrong. I believe that to be I think that's a glacier fed lake, but either way that one's brutally cold. So that's what this was like, but still it was a nice, nice bike ride. Could get a good sweat going and jump in the lake. So that's where we're at. But we're cooling back down now. It's pretty chilly today.
Nice. And what's the school update for children? What's happening over there?
You're gonna taunt me, huh?
Just a little bit.
Well, there's been a turn. So
good.
No.
Oh no, not good. They're not going back to school.
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. So they went back last week. Like school started last Monday.
Okay.
But not my kids. So my kids, like they split all the classes into two. So you got half a class you go with. So it's like 7 or 8 kids or something like that per class.
Yeah.
And then they divided up the grades, like 1 and 3 and 2 and 4, that kind of thing. So they cut the school in half as well.
Okay.
So now you have a quarter and you go every second week. And so last week the other kids went and this week it's my kids are starting on this coming up Monday.
So there you go. You're back.
Okay. Yeah, it's back. It's all back to normal. So what they do is they give out a package. They give the kids like a homeschooling package. I'm sure that's what your kids got when they were doing it, right?
They had like this online portal, they called it, and your work would come through each day. Like you'd be
right
on the portal, and then you would do your work, and then you'd submit anything back to the portal. So it was a lot of it was a lot of portal. Yeah, hot portal.
Yeah, a lot of hot portal talk. HPT, we call that in the biz. And so, yeah, so we had that. There is that portal as well, some secure sort of what have you. I don't know. We do that too because there's content and there's some like online meetings or whatever they do. I'm not really sure. Not the point. Point is they go like on Friday afternoon and they hand in their previous week's work and they're given a package with all the next week, the following week's work. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's laid out for Monday, something for each day, Monday to Friday. And there's stuff because they have books, they have workbooks they have in, and there's some pages, and you get the idea.
Yeah.
So they get that they have to do, and then they hand it back in, and so we handed it in yesterday, and then now they got their package for this week. Well, all they do is bring that package that they would do at home, they bring it into school, and they're there for 2 hours a day and just do their package there. That's not school.
And they're there, like you said, just for 2 hours.
For 2 hours. So they're up to, if you average it out over the week, they get an hour of school per day.
Wow.
Because they're every 2 weeks.
Yeah, right? Every second week. You're just happy that they're out of your house for 2 hours.
At least they're in the same 2 hour block. But
okay, that's
like
good.
Yeah, it's a whole 2 hours. I'm really going to go and get a lot of stuff done. Going to probably rebuild the bottom floor of my house in that 2 hours, the first week.
Right, right.
But no, but here's the thing. Here's where, okay, so that's bad enough. And I even said, hey, you guys want to go to school. If you don't. I'm not playing their stupid games anymore. Like, I've had enough of the I understand that there's the pandemic. And every time I have this conversation with anybody, I always have to preface it by saying, I'm not denying that there's a COVID, blah, 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 okay?
Okay, so you've said it. We're good.
However, I am tired of playing these silly little games of you know, this is okay, that's not okay, this is okay, and it's all the same, you know? Right. And so there's that. But now, so what they've done, now the one, I mean, there's a lot of positive things like tomorrow my wife gets the vaccine.
Nice. Okay?
Yeah, so... That's good. Well, shot number one, and then in 63 days, she goes for shot number two. No, it is 63 days. I'm not joking.
Is that what it is there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah, 9 weeks. It's nine weeks is, if I'm doing the math correctly. Yeah. So she'll get it. I mean, it's funny because, I don't know, I guess people are turning it down now, which is kind of odd.
But they're doing the first one and they're just turning down the second shot?
No.
Or they're turning it down, period.
Well, I think a lot of people want the home game. And because there's a couple of vaccines, one's not finished being approved yet and one is, but there's a couple of German vaccines and I think they want to have the home one.
Gotcha.
And so the one that I think is being distributed widely here is the UK whatever one. And I've done some research and I've looked into it and asked a few people who know these things, whom I trust, and they said, yeah, 100% get that. Like, don't even worry about it, you know? And so I would like to see everybody who can get, like, if I could get the vaccine, I would also get it. I don't qualify yet because my wife's a teacher. I'm not. I would love it if they said, hey, yeah, no one wants it. Do you want it? I'm in tomorrow.
Right.
Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe we should stagger it a couple of days in case, you know, one of us does develop a fever or something, as is what happens with the vaccine sometimes, which means your immune system is working, apparently, which is nice.
Okay.
But it'd be nice if we're gonna get the low grade fever, then maybe we want to stagger that so we can be parents in that time.
Right.
Other than that, I'm in. Like, let's do this. I would like everybody to do this, and you know, numbers are already starting to fall. Depends on where you get your news, I guess. If the weather keeps staying warm, this could very well fall off a table in terms of the numbers. Could be great. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Positive news, everybody. Okay. Yes, there's still bad things that could happen. I'm not saying we're out of the woods. Please be positive. I'm hucking positivity out into the podcast verse.
Okay.
Plus, here's the other thing. I'm kind of we have a pretty good mayor here in Tübingen who's kind of making the rounds on the national scene in Germany. Probably not the name Boris Palmer. Probably not ringing a bell to you.
He's Arnold Palmer's brother.
He's Boris the Spider's brother.
Mm.
From the Who. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So I thought there was another one. Another Palmer name I could have made for Jim Palmer. That's who it is. Underwear guy from the Baltimore Orioles.
They're all related.
So Boris Palmer, he's actually kind of controversial. He says some things that aren't super PC, but he's not wrong. But anyway, so he's really leading a drive to he really wants to get Tübingen back to normal yesterday.
Oh, so that's a good t-shirt right there.
Yeah.
Get Tübingen back to normal yesterday.
That might be, you have to get an extra large though to get all those letters on.
It's front and back.
Yeah, you wrap it around like the 90s Sharks uniforms or something. And so anyway, so he's got some weird proposals that just aren't feasible. Like, so we have all these what do you call it? Fast tests. The fast tests that you aren't very intrusive. I don't know how accurate they are, but that's where I'm going with the school. They're going to test all of our kids every Monday morning before school.
Okay.
With this super fast test. Like the results come back in 15 minutes, and which I don't even know how accurate it is. I don't care. However, they're not putting all the kids back in school. So my point was, yeah, fine. Do the testing if the kids can go back. But they're still doing the 1 hour a week, 1 hour a day thing.
Right.
Which is, let's pick a horse.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently Boris would like to set up testing stations outside the old town here and have everybody who wants to go in the old town get tested. And if you pass, you go through and stores are open and life is just normal. It'd be like a normal zone. I'm not seeing how feasible that is.
Right.
However, I like the cut of his jib. I like the pause. I like the fact that he's trying to do things to get things back to normalcy.
Right. Go which Boris.
Which is weird because I've heard people say the word getting things back to normality. That's, I don't know if normality is a word.
I don't think so. I haven't heard that. That's a first for me.
I've heard it in a number of places.
Yeah,
getting back a sense of normality.
No, that's wrong.
Irregardless, I've heard it. Yeah. So there we go. So that's what's going on here. We shall see. Hopefully, you know, the vaccine gets spread rapidly because people aren't taking it here, but they're not really rolling it out. It's stalled, or I don't really know what's going on. There's hope. That's all I'm telling you, Adam.
Okay, I'm glad. I was super close to believing there was no hope, so I'm glad to hear there's hope.
But you're smart enough to read through to ignore the headlines.
Oh, I just don't read. I don't read.
Yeah, I know, but I watch the headlines and I don't believe them. I know what they're doing, but I watch them trying to sow the seeds of doom and misery on everybody, and I don't understand it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the second there's any good news, oh, the numbers are falling. Fourth wave is waiting. Fourth wave is driving around your kid's school right now in an unmarked van. No window, windowless van.
But still waving. Waving at your children.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's not in a good wave. No. No, it's a bad, it's an evil. It's what's the one I read about the variant in California? The devil is already here. That was the headline. All right.
Yeah.
Enjoy that, everybody.
I can't read the headlines for this reason. I don't watch the news. Just living in my bubble of bliss over here.
Well, ignorance is bliss, for sure.
Yeah, I love it. I love being ignorant. Yeah.
Oh, that's why I hear you. I hear you. So, anyway. Almost back to normality, buddy. That's what I'm telling
you. Okay, all right.
All right. Amazon, we're going to play late to get into that. We're still doing it as of this week. We're still doing Amazon. I don't know where it's going to go.
No, it's going nowhere.
It might go somewhere. They might.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're making money. Amazon, they're doing okay.
You know, they're doing fine. But I'm not sure they're worried about our little dog and pony show. And quite honestly, they are not, like, Jeff Bezos and Boris Palmer do not get along. That is fact.
Okay,
and
all right.
So, just me mentioning his name, I'm guessing we're going to be filtered out, and this episode may not air, might get pulled by the bots.
Okay, all right.
How does that work, Adam? There's keywords that they listen to, right?
Yeah, and I think bots are one of them.
Is it bad that half our listeners are made up of bots? scanning for bad things that we say?
Yeah, I think it's more than half. I think we can be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, okay. As long as those bots shop on Amazon, we're fine.
Yeah.
Click through our site. If you get, what do bots get? Motor oil? I don't even know now.
Yeah,
gotta be solid state at this point.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, you need new microchips, bots. Go to Amazon, click through our site, help us out this week. Got a pretty good, I mean, at least we're still on the air. People heard last week's episode.
Wow.
Yeah. So we didn't get pulled off by the host, which is nice. Step one.
Yeah.
Got a pretty decent response on the Patreon route. The Patreon / begging for money tin. Is there one called Tin Cup?
No. There's a movie.
Yeah, obviously there's a movie. With Cheech of Cheech and Chong.
And yeah, that, Kevin Costner.
And that Bull Durham guy. Yeah.
Rene Russo.
Right.
Yeah.
Written by the same guy.
And what's and Miami Vice guy?
Don Cheadle.
Nope.
Different Don Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Great bad guy, by the way. Good throwback movie.
He's a good foil, yeah.
It holds up, though, that movie. I watched
it. I've only seen it once in the theater. I saw it in the theater and not since then.
Yeah, one of the all-time classic endings to a sports movie. Like, amazing ending.
Uh-huh. I remember the scene where he goes in the water like 9 times in a row.
Yeah,
runs out
that's
of
the end of the movie. It's the greatest thing ever. You just spoiled it. Yeah, you spoiled it.
Okay, I just saved everybody a couple of bucks. I mentioned that one. I don't know if that one's on any of the streamers.
Yeah, okay. If you're looking for what happens at the end, Al just spoiled it. So
I'm sure it's on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube.
Sure.
So anyway, so it looks like by next week I will have a if I'm smart enough to do it, I will sign up for Patreon. We have a number of listeners who in fact, every single response was positive that yeah, we're happy to support you guys. Been doing it for 10 years without ever asking for money. And so, yeah, we're happy to support independent artists, which is great. I love that attitude. I get most of my podcasts off BitTorrent, so... No?
No.
No pirating jokes? Are we still... No. No one knows what BitTorrent is anymore, do they?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. It's still got to be a thing, right?
I doubt it. You can't... No one BitTorrent. Do you BitTorrent? You have. In the past, you have BitTorrented.
Yeah, years ago.
Yeah, but before now, there was the streaming services.
Yeah, now to me it's just like why would I be bothered?
Yeah, it would be insane. Like not even the fact that you get free content. It's like I don't want to have to store it somewhere.
Yeah, and I guess maybe like if there was a show or something that just there was no service to provide, I can't even think that would be possible anymore with all the services.
Where you are for sure.
Yeah, then I think, okay, well, I guess I could try to go to the internet to find it, some obscure show or movie that somebody told me about, but yeah, it's not come up. It's between the Disney Plus and the Netflix and the Amazon, I feel like I've got every possible show I could ever watch.
HBO Max, I would think. That's not available here.
Oh, okay, I have the Crave / HBO, so I mean, I have everything.
There you go.
Yeah.
So then you can get Curb Your Enthusiasm. See, I can't get that here.
Okay. All right. Well, you're too bad.
Yeah. Tough break. Tough break me. And Hulu. Can't get Hulu here, too. That's the thing. Anyway, what are you going to do? Cry about it? Go outside.
Exactly.
It's going to be nice and warm.
That's right.
Where are we at? What's going on with you?
Photos.
No, you. Have you been? Did you, okay, fine. Oh, let everybody know. I did an episode of Photo Geek Weekly with Don Komareska this week. Maybe.
Whoa.
Maybe I did.
Yeah, I'm sure you offended somebody.
No, I did do it. We did record the episode, but I know he's finishing his book right now, like the last couple days of book finishing. Mm-hmm. And so he may, I'm not sure if he put the episode up or not. So yeah, it's not up yet or just got cut.
Funny story about that episode is that he actually called me first and, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I said, no time for you, Don. So you were second fiddle, just so you know.
Second fiddle would be nice. Like I don't even think I made it a second. I think it's way down there. Yes. Yeah, so I'm looking, it's not up yet. Maybe it's up by the time this airs. I don't know. Or maybe I blew it. Maybe I've blown that.
Well, he edits and he was just, this is unairable. Is that a word? Unairable?
Unairable. Yeah, I think so. Could be. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know if he edits or not, but.
What did you guys talk about?
What did we talk about? We talked about geek stuff. Like it's called Photo Geek Weekly for a reason.
Yeah. To fully disclose, I've never listened to Don's podcast, so I have no idea. I had no contacts. I haven't. And you've had multiple appearances, right?
Yes. I forget how many now.
Three or four, at least, I would think.
I would have guessed three or four. It's actually closer to eight or nine.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know that either.
So are you his most reoccurring guest? That's a lot.
I think it might be. I'm not sure.
Wow. You got to find out. Most reoccurring guest, Al Atridge. You want that? You want to be announced that way the next time you go on?
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. I did it not so long ago. And then, maybe it was long ago. I don't know. No, January 5th, three episodes ago. But this time we talked about the Mars rover. That was one thing. And well, it has like 19 cameras on it.
Okay. All right.
So we talked about that and then, other stuff. I don't know. Just listen to the show.
No,
not I'm you. Not you.
Yeah. I'm not going to.
Yeah. We talk about you for a great deal.
I don't like Don and I don't like you. So where does that leave me? Yeah.
No, that's the best of nothing all at once. Mm-hmm. So there's that. All right. Let's get on to photos then. Reminder, monthly challenge this month is my hometown or your hometown or the hometown.
The hometown.
The hometown. I've not shot mine yet. Have you?
Maybe. I took a photo like 2 days ago because... I had an opportunity and it seemed to make sense for my hometown. So I took it and then I like it, but again, I still have time. So I'm always thinking that like, well, who knows? Maybe I'm going to beat it with the greatest photo ever of my hometown. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm safe though. I have a very safe photo locked and loaded for that next week.
Always have a safety one. That's good.
Well, just because I usually wait till the last 30 seconds and go, oh no, how am I going to shoot my hometown in my living room?
Yeah, exactly. Does he mean the street sign in front of my house?
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Oh no. Speaking of that, have you seen the new Brian Regan stand-up special on Netflix?
No, is it good?
Very funny.
I you know what? Here's my complaint. Not about Brian Regan specific, just... all stand-up specials on Netflix, I laugh for, you know, usually the first 5 or 10 minutes, and then it just gets more and more sparse to the point where I usually get to about the 35-minute mark and turn almost every one of them off.
There's too many of them.
Yeah, but the miss rate is too high, even on big-name comedians. So anyways, there has been a couple that I really, really liked all the way through, but few and far between. So I do like Brian Regan, so I will try that.
Full disclosure, I did not like Brian Regan's last one. He had some good jokes in it. It was not his best work, in my opinion, because I'm a humongous fan of Brian Regan. I've seen him live in Vancouver before many years ago. And so I was disappointed in the last one and very happy with this one.
Okay. Although so I don't watch the wrong one.
The other one was called Firecrackers and Fire Sticks or something. And then, this one was called Brian Regan, something, something 2021.
Okay. Well, the year,
I don't know what it's called.
We'll help market it.
He has, do not worry. He has my haircut.
Okay, all right.
He all of a sudden decided to go full gray.
Nice.
Not really. It's a little disconcerting. But he talks about it at the beginning of the show. He's just like, yeah, I hated dyeing my hair. I just stopped dyeing my hair. He's been dyeing his hair forever. and just stopped. And I was like, okay, I'm more upset that he's going gray than the fact that I went gray. Like, it's actually way more upsetting to me.
Okay. All right.
So thanks, Regan.
Yeah.
All right. So hashtag your photos, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers on the Instagram. Even better, do both of those things and tag us at Two Hosers, and we'll check that out for next week. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did not. I pulled the camera out for the photo challenge and then for my hometown photo, and that was it, unfortunately.
I shot a backup photo. I did the same thing this week. I had a backup photo for my photo challenge, and that's the only other thing I really shot because my son lost his front tooth.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was talking when he should have been listening. He's seven, and that's what happens. Your teeth come out.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. It wasn't a horrible accident. No, it'd been loose for a while, and he's really proud of it. So I took a photo of him with his missing front tooth, but he looks to be a mess. Like he's kind of got like a dirty face, and his hair is terrible now. Like he needs to get to a barber quickly.
Okay.
And then also the cat scratched his face, and so he looks like a homeless guy. And so I was like, oh, I can't use this. This is terrible. My kids are going to be scarred horrifically.
Okay.
So that was it. That's all I did shoot. But I also, here's the thing. Oh man, I had to double up on the tooth fairy as well because he put the tooth under. I'm talking quietly like he's listening. He put the tooth under the pillow.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot about it.
Nice.
And in the morning he came in, what? Nothing. I was like, oh no. So I was like, you knocked your pillow on the floor. That's what happened. And the tooth fairy probably couldn't find it. Let's put a sign out next time. Like, okay. Or I can just be the worst dad ever.
Good save. Yeah. Tooth fairy needs a sign at your house.
So I doubled up and gave him double the normal rate.
So what's the rate? What do you get now?
We got double, so you got $80. No, you got two euros. Normally it's
a brand new car.
Yeah, that's right. Here's the deed to the house, son. I feel bad. It works out well. Like the little thing, the little container he has it. Had put the tooth in it. It fits a euro coin perfectly. So you got two euro coins in there.
Okay. All right.
There you go. Back to dad of the year. He was excited.
Yeah.
He could, I can buy two pretzels with that. Like, all right, buddy. We can, a little bit. So, very excited. Other than that, I shot nothing as well until the photo challenge. So,
okay.
Let's get right into that. Photo challenge this week was issued by you, and that's 85 mil.
Yeah, I hadn't used the lens in a while.
Yeah, I have been, but not nearly enough. I don't know why. I've actually been using the 24 to 128 to, what do I have? 24 to 135, 105? 24 to 105. That's what I have.
Right.
I've been using that because of its versatility. We'll quickly shoot some video and flip over. And when you're outside and you're going to shoot at an F4 anyway, if you're not looking to go to an F2, does a pretty great job.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that as a prime snob. I like the versatility of the lens. And then I shot this week's photo challenge and other ones and remembered, oh yeah, I love this lens. So, with that, let's have a look at yours first. Yours is a movie poster.
Is it? Is that?
I don't know. I could see this being a movie poster.
Yeah. I had my wife's sister comes over for our Saturday family kind of gathering, if you'll call it that. And so she comes over for dinners as a single person. She's allowed to come over to our house. We're her adopted family. So we have Saturday evenings with her. And so I thought, I'm going to do a sister photo. And does anyone have any ideas? And nobody did, of course. So I went to the internet just kind of looking at photos of sisters. And there was, again, like a bazillion different Pinterest ideas of, you know, photos with siblings, whether they're younger, older, whatever. And then I happened across this kind of photo with it was overexposed, and it was very stylistic of I'm assuming they were sisters, but two sisters, and it was done in this way. So it was just shot close up, half and half face, and I thought, I like it. I like that idea. So in no way did I, you know, just come up with this out of my brain to do it this way. I don't think that way. So the internet really helped me. I could probably try to find the photo, but anyways, it wasn't, the photo is okay, but it was a little bit too blown out, and they did it intentionally, I'm sure, just for style purposes. But anyways,
right.
So I decided to do my version of it. By no means a famous photo that I was copying, just someone's good idea, or at least I thought it was a good idea. And so I got the 85 mil. I used the ring light, which you can see as the catch lights in their eyes. And they're just standing together in front of a wall, and I'm above, like I'm very sort of angled from above shooting with the ring light, and then with on-camera flash and a black foamy thing bounced off the ceiling, which is why the light's not perfectly even over both of their faces. And mm-hmm. So I bounce it off the ceiling. They're looking sort of up at me, and yeah, just tried to line them up, because as you know, with the 85 mil, you know, the depth of field, especially when you're close, because I'm really close, this is pretty much straight out of camera. I didn't really have to do much of any cropping, but the trick was just trying to line their eyes up so that they're, you know, pretty much in focus. And even though my wife's is perfect, my sister-in-law's is slightly soft on the eyelashes, but it was still sharp enough for what I wanted. I really just wanted the symmetry of where their noses, mouths, eyes, hair, everything was. And yeah, so it was just pretty much that. I just point and shoot, and once I had the lighting the way I liked, I took probably 10 photos. Most of them were not this perfectly symmetrical, but I liked the one with the most symmetry, so that's what I went with.
It looks really cool.
And yeah, it's just different, right?
The light makes it, and the catch light, I mean, looks like it's a great job on the catch light. And plus, like, while you're talking, I'm just kind of messing around with it too. So are you ready?
Sure.
Hang on a sec here. I need like 1 sec. So filibuster a little bit. Tell me a story about some cool
stuff. I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to do, because I had the thought too, and so did my sister-in-law.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You're separating it and piecing it back together, right?
What do you mean?
Like you're putting my wife's face on the other side to try to match their face, right?
I've already done it.
Yeah, that's it. She did it too, and I had that same thought, just to see, like, I wonder how well it mm-hmm. lines up. It lined up pretty well.
Yeah, it didn't. Okay, so it's in the Dropbox if you want to see what I did in about 30 seconds. So I probably could have messed around a bit more, but the focus, as you mentioned, the focus isn't exactly the same, like on the nose and to the eye and the distance and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it does change a little bit, but
you did a good job, and she did the same. And it actually, she did one where she just put like a little kind of white bar in between the two, and mm-hmm. then it looks even better, because your brain kind of does the math to connect the two. When you put it like this, the one thing that doesn't really in my brain line up is that my wife's eye is a little bit more wide open, like my sister-in-law's face is just a slight squint in her eye, which then as soon as you put the little separation in between, you're, for whatever reason, my brain kind of forgets about when you line it up this perfectly, it kind of looks like she's doing the rock eyebrow, like, because she's kind of one eyebrow is raised a little bit and one down. But yeah, it is pretty cool symmetry, and it also shows how much they look alike, because when you piece it together, you're like, yeah, that can kind of be someone's face, right? Like that could just be their face.
Plus your wife was adopted.
Yeah, that's right. So that's weird. But that's also
really weird.
Just the way the light falls, right? In this position, it looks like a portrait lighting, just the way there's the little bit of shadow on one side. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty cool how all of that worked out. So I did, the photo was done in a way that I didn't expect to like it as much as I did after I was shooting it. I was just, again, chimping the LCD. I thought, holy crap, this looks cool, right? And yes. Would have never thought to do it. So thank you, internet. Thank you, people who come up with cool things that I can copy.
What was your focus method on this one?
I just really tried to focus on their eye, and then I picked an eye, right? Because I do this.
How did you focus?
The single spot. Like, what do you mean? How did I focus?
Like, so you like focus recompose or what?
I just selected the center point, and then I did. I think I tried both. I don't know, remember which one this one turned out to be, but I did the focus recompose on my wife's eye, and then I tried my sister-in-law's eye, and then I think I just held the camera centered, and then I moved the focus point and tried on one of their eyes. But again, because there was like 10 photos, and I just took the one with the best symmetry. I don't remember which focus method ended up working out the best. Focus and recompose is tough in this situation.
Yes, that's why I asked.
Yeah, but then it's also on my camera, the 6D, the center focus point is the most accurate. So yeah. I feel like sometimes the focus and recompose is still better than going to the outside point, but I kind of build in a scenario with the 85 mil like this, sort of a safety net, and try both ways because I'm never sure which way it's going to do a better job.
Yeah, especially with the, you know, aperture at this, like, what did you say?
I think
what
it's
was?
Not that wide open. I think 2.8. It's like, is it that wide open?
Yeah, that's pretty wide open, especially at this
distance.
I thought I tried
because I was having so much of a challenge. I thought I tried to go a little bit smaller, but no, that's this, because I probably went all the way up to 5.6, depending on which photo it was. But still, I'm close. So yeah, this is a struggle. 2.8 is a struggle to get. But I also did really want it to look like a portrait and didn't want the depth of field.
Yes. No, for sure. Yeah. This would be one of the times where I would have probably ended up whipping out the tripod and going with the live view and just manually focusing.
Oh yeah, I did. And again, I think part of it because they were our house and where I can position them for this kind of neutral wall, I would have had to move all kinds of furniture. Like we're in our bedroom. Yeah. I'm on the, like it was so precarious what I was doing because I'm on our bed shooting down. I've got the lights kind of on the bed, like the ring light, and I'm holding it because it's even with my movement on the bed, the light's going to fall over the ring light. So yeah, it was a super precarious situation that wouldn't have lent itself well to the to the tripod and the live view. But I often forget about doing it that way. It would have been very difficult in the present situation.
Indeed. All right, so here's my shot of my daughter with the 85 mil. I shot it outside. Like I wanted to shoot it outside right at the crack of noon because of what we talked about last week. So what other technique did I throw in here, Adam?
High speed sync, maybe?
Off camera high speed sync, strictly for Adam.
Nice. I knew it was lit. I didn't realize it was high speed sync, but it looks pretty natural. That could be bounce off a White House or something nearby.
Well, there's probably an element of bounce as well. There could be. I'm not sure how much is overpowering because. So here's the move. I wanted to do off camera high speed sync, which I mentioned my triggers do not handle, right?
Okay.
So what I do have though is I do have a sync cable. Like I have a couple of different cables. I have one of the ones like that's just your basic cable that just trips your flash. And then I have, there's a name for that. I don't know what the name is. But then I have the other one that's an actual sync cable that sits on the hot shoe of my camera and acts as an extension to the hot shoe of the flash itself, right? So basically you're doing on-camera flash with that like old telephone cable, the spiral one. You with me?
Got it. Got it.
Okay, yeah. So it's not super long. I use that thing almost never because I bought the cheaper one because I thought it's just a cable. You don't need the really expensive one, and that's a lie because not like it was super cheap, but it was the cheaper version, and it worked great when I got it, and now it works great sometimes.
Okay,
which is kind of annoying. So what ends up happening is the connection. So I'll connect it, and right away it'll work. ETTL will work. High speed sync will work, and I can put it on a tripod and not get can't get very far from it, but it definitely gets it off camera, on a light stand, not a tripod. Sorry.
Right.
The downside being is that every once in a while it'll lose connection on like I guess one of the pins, and so then it goes from ETTL to just regular TTL metering, and you lose the high speed sync capability.
Okay.
So what I end up doing is I get all set up. I really wanted to maximize the aperture on this. So this was shot at an F2. Technically could have gone to an F1.8, I suppose, but I wanted to really, really go nuts. And so to get an F2 in the bright sunlight at noon, you're looking at an ISO of 100 and a shutter speed of between 1/4,000th and 1/8,000th of a second.
Okay.
Just a normal shutter speed at F2. And so you have to use high speed sync. So I'm go ahead and shooting it. Well, also the cheap cable I have is kind of a flimsy little mount to it. So when you mount that on the light stand, there's a high potentiality for that thing to fall off. And it's my good flash. I don't want that to go tumbling down onto the cement. So I had my son come out and hold that in place for me. So now it's another added variable, right?
Right.
So it is just camera right shooting through an umbrella.
Okay.
And so in order to get that, now you understand, in order to get any high speed sync through an umbrella, that umbrella has to be essentially brushing up against her cheek. It's right. That close.
Yeah.
So the umbrella is just millimeters out of frame, hence the tight framing here.
Okay.
And so it worked out. So I managed to snap off a couple of shots before it quickly flipped over to ETT or to regular TTL, lost the high speed sync. So every time I'd shoot, unbeknownst to me, the camera would automatically set to a normal sync speed of 1/200th of a second, which would just give me a white frame because it's now supposed to be 1/8,000th of a second. Yeah. And boom, off it goes. And so my kids were getting a little bit impatient. Fair enough in this case. They're not big fans of high speed sync and all the technology involved. But I managed to grab one that I thought, you know, I would use this technique. Like I would use a high speed technique and what you should think about, because you have the capability of adding multiple. You can add two flashes, correct?
Yes.
So in theory, you could add two into one umbrella and keep it close and really like do a great job actually portrait lighting your subject outside in the bright sunlight using high speed sync.
Okay. Yeah.
As we said, once you use high speed sync, your power of your flash plummets. So just the fact that you have two physical flashes that you could double up on would really make it for a great effect into an umbrella. But generally, I kind of like this technique. It's something I'd probably do again, you know, until they come out with an X100 with an 85mm lens built in. There's no other way for me to really do this.
Yeah, it looks good.
All right. I guess you could use an ND filter.
Yes, if you wanted to. Yeah, that's another way to do it.
But then you still need an absolute ton of flash power to power, because you're going to need a real, like at least an ND9, but probably way more than that, just to get this look. So still need a ton of flash power to power through that. All right, topic this week. I talked to Nate Adams, who I've had on the show before. He works with Corolla's company, Adam Corolla's company, Chassis Media. They produce those. The 24-Hour War that I worked on a few years ago, and a bunch of other documentaries and a lot of car stuff. What else do you want to know about what Nate Adams does out of Los Angeles?
Everything that you talked about.
About in the show. Yeah, you could listen to the interview, but I want to make sure I give him a good intro. Great guy. Fun. Great guy to work with. They're the guys who come over to England, and I go work with them on their crew whenever they're here. And considering they weren't allowed to come this year, the plan was, I think there was some talk of going to Belgium for a race last year, but that fell through, obviously, because of the situation we're in. So hopefully next year we can get back on that, because they're a lot of fun to shoot with. They have a lot of projects in the pipeline. And so I wanted to hear what they were up to in terms of working through the COVID protocols and what they're coming through down their pipeline. And so without further ado, here's my interview with Nate Adams. Nate, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Alan. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Doing the same, you know. Glad to have you back. It's been on a couple of times. I missed you guys. That's really why I wanted to have you on, more than anything else.
I know. We missed coming over and being able to shoot and bring you in on our shoots. And you know, I mean, personally, you know, for a guy who's used to making as many sort of documentaries and things that I make, you know, I'm used to traveling. Never a month that goes by that I don't travel.
Right.
And for pretty much the last year, I haven't traveled at all.
Right, right. Well, that is obviously strange. And that's one of the things I made a note about working with you guys. And one of the things I like the best about you and your whole crew, like all the, like, right down to Mike August, even. Like, I honestly love when you guys come over and I get to work with you, because I find your attitude is, yeah, why not? Let's do it. You know, someone has an idea about, let's go shoot at Goodwood. Yeah, why not? You know, and that's a really kind of a rare attitude of just let's go, go, go. So it must have been a screeching halt for you guys when this first happened a year ago.
Yeah, it's been. On some levels, I mean, we're finishing two documentaries, one on Mad Magazine and one on memes with Cedric the Entertainer. And we have shot, you know, during the pandemic, we've done quite a few interviews in like Los Angeles where we can, you know, we interviewed like Judd Apatow and Bryan Cranston and Eliza Schlesinger and just got some celebrity interviews that we needed to finish up the docs. And we had a remote crew do some New York shoots, but it's harder because usually I go to all the shoots, and you know, if it's I haven't been going to like New York or wherever, so it's a little tougher. You don't always get what you want because it's not you doing the shoot, you know. Right. So it makes it a little more difficult.
I'm glad to hear that, because one of my kind of, I won't say fears, but one of my concerns about what's going on now is the idea that everything can just be done remote, and we're just going to go that way and get away from the in-person stuff once we get back to normal. So
I'm not doing that.
No, good. Good to hear. No,
not for the docs we make, because I mean, like, even the shoots that other people are doing, they don't know the project like you do. They don't know the questions and the answers, and they don't know what specific thing to follow up on when you get. You know, going down a rabbit hole of questions in terms of like the content you already have in the documentary or in the movie. And, you know, that's what makes it good, is being able to be insightful and know all the material that you already have and how the content you're acquiring works with what you already have. So having someone that doesn't have that knowledge and is just trying to shoot an interview for you to make $10 that day, it's not going to be as effective as if you do it yourself.
Are you able to call in and like FaceTime into that, or is it just you're just flying blind?
Sometimes the New York ones that we did, I did fly blind, and it did not work out as well as I would have liked it to.
Well, part of the skill set, like I noticed the very first time I shot with you guys in Goodwood, was like, I was shocked. Shock's not a very good word. I was impressed with how prepared you were specifically. And you had like 8 or 9 guys that you needed to talk to. You had a story to tell, and you had it down to which guy had to tell which piece of the story, which is good. Like that's your basic prep work. But then to watch you get that story out of them without telling them to tell that story. What do you have a specific technique to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you always have to, all the production is about preparation and about being prepared before you get there. Like that's when all your homework is done. Like, for example, when we shoot the show now, that like we have 12 episodes of Going Racing with Adam Carolla. That's kind of what we were shooting when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to release it pretty soon, these 12 episodes. And so for us, you know, it's part of it's done with Adam, and then part of it we figure out a little bit on the fly. But, you know, we look through like all the cars and all the people that are going to be there racing, and we find out who Adam likes and what cars he wants to see. And there's also some stuff done on the fly of walking around, and, you know, I mean, you know, Nick Mason's going to be there with his $70 million GTO. So you want to talk to those guys. you know, and when we were there, we stumbled onto Keanu Reeves, who was right next to us. So we talked to him, and, you know, there's some of the stuff that you kind of do on the fly. And for me, I've been doing this so long, you know, it doesn't take me long to figure out where a story is or what a good story is or how to take that and you know, kind of quickly run with it and make a segment for the show about it. You know, the sort of little, the reality show that we're doing with Adam is different than a feature doc, you know, that we would do, and structuring them out is different. But, you know, for the Adam show is great because, you know, all we need is, if it's a car or a person, we just need a 4 to 5 minute piece that's really entertaining. You know, and Adam's really good at just being entertaining on the fly because that's what he does.
But to flip it back to you, one of the other things that impressed me is that you, when it comes to the interview stuff, you don't shoot and shoot and shoot and hope you get something later. I've worked with people before and they just, you know what, we're just going to roll on everything and hopefully we have something. You keep it pretty tight when it comes to the talent, especially. Where does that come from? Where's your background on that?
I think part of it is, you know, I've been doing this since 2005, so I've done so many, you know, hundreds and hundreds of interviews, and I think you start to be able to learn what, you know, what the really important sound bites are and what the really, you know, kind of get right to the meat of the story as quickly as you can and find out, you know, the real pertinent information that people would want to know. And you kind of have to, you know, that's goes back to sort of knowing your audience of who you're speaking to with the material that you're creating.
And in terms of the talent, like, I think also your reputation precedes you, because if you tell Goldberg, hey, I need 10 minutes and you do it in 8, you're going to have no trouble getting him again.
Yeah, that's how a lot of those guys work too. And also, you know, when you go to work with them again, they were, you know, everyone remembers terrible experiences. So if you work with someone who's a terrible, you know, and guys like Goldberg or Keanu, they've worked with a million people. I mean, I remember Keanu hilariously, like, he immediately saw that we were filming with multiple cameras. So he knew we would have to do the clap for sound.
He self-slated. You know, that's right.
Yeah, and he knew that instantly. And I was like, wow, this guy's like, you know, he's such a pro that he knew we had to do that. And he did it without it really prompting him. But then when those guys see the piece that you make on them and they go, oh, that was fun. You know, they didn't burn my time and they didn't hassle me. Like you said, you're going to have a lot easier time the next time you work with them or approach them or talk to them. And, you know, it makes a difference going forward, and also with your reputation of working with people, you know, that definitely helps.
Speaking of that Keanu interview, the night before, I made you guys watch the Canadian classic Youngblood.
Yes.
And we sat there the entire time, and not once did you mention that you're close personal friends with NHL royalty, the Brian Trottier.
Yes.
How did you sit there and not tell me that?
I don't know. We're close. My family was close with his family. So his brother named Buzz, it's his dad. He has a brother named Rocky. And another brother, Rocky was kind of the enforcer guy. And what's his other brother's name? Let's see. There's Brian, Rocky. Dad's name's Buzz. I can't remember his other brother. But we would, my family, weirdly enough, went on wagon trains with their family.
Right.
I think, I don't know if you heard this on Adam's
podcast. That's how I found out. I found out because I happened to catch your interview on Adam's show and thought, but you just threw it away like, oh yeah, I was, you know, Brian Trottier.
I can never pronounce their last name right.
Oh, I don't know if I'm doing it right. That's how the Canadians say it, Trottier. It's that sort of.
I think we say Trottier. I don't remember. Trutchy. That's how everyone where we're from says it.
Okay.
So I have no idea, but, you know, it was, I never thought anything of it. I just knew these guys put like cans on the fence and hit rocks. They use hockey stick and knock them off with rocks.
Yeah. Well, and he wasn't just an NHL player. He was royalty. So anyways, I just thought it was the way you described it on the show was like, oh yeah, he played in the NHL, NHL player. Okay. It's like, yeah, Troy Aikman played in the NFL, you know, that guy.
Yeah. So. Well, to us, they were just these guys that we went on vacations with as kids. And Brian was already pretty much playing a lot in the NHL. So I don't know that I don't remember. My older siblings would have spent more time with him.
All right. Back to your, so the documentaries you have in the pipeline right now, you said Mad Magazine and the meme one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are doing something interesting there, to me anyways. You're not crowdfunding those so much as you are micro-investing. Is that, do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, we tried something new with those where it's on a site called microventures.com. I actually think we've capped our investment or we're pretty darn close. But this is a kind of investing where you're like a producer on the film. You know, you're putting money in. You're getting paid back plus a percentage, exactly like an investor on a movie or a documentary would. And then you split the back end with us. So whatever the thing makes, you're in it, you know, depending on how much money you put in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we raised the money for those on that site. And we should be finishing them in, you know, 3 to 4 months. Both of them should be finished.
So the difference, I mean, I know crowdfunding, for some reason, crowdfunding a kind of a bad name in around the Hollywood system, which I don't really understand. Like when you're doing independent films, to me, I mean, any independent film, you're sort of crowdfunding anyways. You're pre-selling it to markets to fund the production. So I don't understand how crowdfunding, like what you're doing is you're basically pre-selling DVDs to make the production, right? But now this one, I'm really interested in the micro-investing. Is that something that you're going to do moving forward?
I think we're going to see how these two come out. You know, my hope is that, you know, you never know what's going to happen with a film. My hope is that these are both successful for everyone who invests in them. And then I think it will be much, much easier going forward. And I do think it's something I would do again. Like, we're doing a documentary on Dan Gurney, who's another super famous race car driver, with Patrick Dempsey. I think Patrick's going to produce it with us, or, you know, we're kind of working that out now. But that's going to be funded more traditionally. Another producer is working with us is going to fund the film, and that's not going to be crowdfunded. But there are other projects. I would love to do another, you know, small comedy with Adam. I think Adam, you know, Adam's really funny, and he has a really good, you know, he's very clever about, you know, just coming up with pretty good little comedy ideas. So I think it'd be fun to do another small, like we crowdfunded Road Hard. And the crowdfunding part of it, the fulfillment, you know, can be a bit of a hassle. That's why I like the idea of what we're doing with Micro Ventures, which is you don't have to give out 2,000 t-shirts and hats and, you know, figure out all the stuff. You know, because everyone's in it, you know, that puts money in is an investor in the film, and they're doing it to get money back.
Right.
And, you know, it seems simpler, and it, you know, I like the concept. So I'm just curious, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, we do a good job and get those out there and get them sold and do well.
How was the, you said you've been doing this since 2005. How is the technology, even in the last 4 years, I've noticed a massive jump in technology. What has that meant to how you guys shoot?
Yeah. It's funny. I was talking to some of the guys that, you know, one of the first things I did was I did like a documentary before 24/7, I kind of did a 24/7 like show on these MMA fighters that aired on Showtime. And I mean, I remember the entire show exported to go on Showtime was like 32 gigs.
Right.
Of content, you know, and now like if I shoot one interview in 4K, it's way more than 30, you know,
that, right.
I've far surpassed 32 gigs instantly, you know? I mean, I can remember when I first got like my very first 500 gig hard drive that was the size of a gigantic brick. And I was like, wow, I'm never going to need anything bigger than this ever.
Oh, I shopped around looking for a 60 gig hard drive way back in the day.
Yeah.
Found one. Oh, this is the cheapest one I could find was $411. And so I was like, I'll drive across town and get that one, you know? And that held 5 hours of digital DV, mini DV footage, right?
Yeah. So we shot on like the DVX 100.
Yep.
At that time was the
Panasonic.
The cheap sort of camera that you could put a look on in post and make it look a little cinematic.
Right.
You know, you could put it on in Final Cut Pro when people use that. And, you know, now you look back and go, oh, those cameras are probably cost $80 if you wanted to get one now.
Yeah, I had a Canon XL1. Remember those ones?
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yep.
Yeah.
That was the same.
Yeah, but basically the same. But I ended up like, I just threw it out. Like, what can you do with it? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know? Which is too bad, but I vowed after that was I said I'm not buying any more cameras. I'm just going to rent them when I need them because the technology was changing so quickly. I didn't want to get too invested. But now, I mean, what do you guys shoot most of your interviews with?
You know, now we use the Canon C300, and we have a set of Zeiss Super Speed lenses. Funny enough, like in August and September, I went and produced a Morgan Freeman movie in Mississippi, and I directed second unit. And because it was all at night, those Super Speeds were pretty much, we used them every day. I mean, even they were better than what we rented from the rental house, just because they were faster and they just did a better job at night.
Those are what, like T12s, T14s?
1.4.
Right. Yeah, those are fast. And for the nerds listening, the difference between a T-stop and an F-stop, I won't get you. I'll tell the guys off the air. I'll explain what the difference between a T and an F is. What was that like going over and producing that and shooting that? And you shot that during the pandemic too.
Yeah, we were pretty much the first big, you know, not that it was that big of a movie, but we were the biggest movie shooting at that time. We were in Mississippi, and it was pretty crazy because there was three hurricanes while we were shooting. We had to go through, you know, all of the protocol. At that time, there really wasn't a great protocol in place, you know, so we were doing testing 3 times a week at least for pretty much for everyone. We didn't have A, B, C groups.
Right.
We just did the whole crew 3 times a week. And we had a false positive that shut us down for a day and a half. I mean, they're just, you know, it's tough. It makes it much harder. You know, everybody's got to stay away from everyone on set, and you got to be really adamant about the social distancing, and, you know, the talent doesn't, you know, they have to shoot with no masks. So, you know, makes it more difficult.
That feels like the hardest part to me is I've seen some of the behind the scenes of other productions and seeing the talent have a mask on while they're rehearsing, running lines, and then peeling it off for the show, like for the actual take. That seems like it's, how do you get that out of your head? I mean, that's gotta be the hardest to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's tougher, and, you know, it's tougher on the crew, too, because some, you know, I mean, you just don't realize, you know, when you start putting, you know, 30, 40 crew members, it's just such a variety of people, because some of the people are significantly more lax, and some of them are significantly more paranoid about COVID. So it was, we had issues with people being upset or not upset, or, and you have a COVID officer on set keeping, which is good to keep every, you know, to keep everyone compliant. And if people are standing too close to each other or do, you know, they're kind of monitoring everything, but it's, you know, it just adds another layer of complication to something that's already very complicated, because when you're shooting a film, you know, there's so, you know, everyone's, you're just in such a hurry. And that film, you know, we were shooting in a very limited number of days. So, you know, everything had to really be, you know, really be planned out and mm-hmm. concise. And, you know, the film's crazy, you know, amazingly enough, is called Vanquish. It's got Morgan Freeman and Ruby Rose, and it's coming out April 23rd.
Nice. Now, so it's what is second unit directing?
So second unit directing is the action in the film that does not require the main cast. So this film had a little bit of a transporter element where, like, Morgan Freeman basically sends out Ruby Rose to do 5 pickups for him in one night. And she's riding an electric Harley Davidson live wire and, you know, going through different stages of bad guys and, you know, has to pick up all these basically big bags of money pretty much. Cause Morgan, you know, of the, what's going on in the movie. And so most of the stuff that we were doing were car chases. So I filmed, you know, all of the cars chasing the motorcycle, and, you know, there's a couple of big stunts where we slid the motorcycle underneath a semi and some of those kind of, you know, bigger shots where you've got to shoot plates and set it up and do, you know, do all that.
Nice. What did you shoot that on? What camera was the main camera?
Alexa.
Right.
They used, for the main unit, they used the new Panavision. I don't know if it's a 4 or 6K camera. We didn't use it on second unit. But they used a Panavision camera for a lot of the main unit. And we used the Alexas on second unit.
Nice. Nate, thanks a lot for taking the time. Where can people go to find All About You? Chassis, All About...
Yeah, you can go to chassismedia.com. That's our kind of production site and production services, and that'll tell you about Chassis and what we do. And if you want to see our docs and films and the things that we make, go to chassis.com, chassy.com, or chassymedia.com.
We're going to put links to all that in the show notes, of course. All right, Nate, get back to work, man.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate it.
And we're back.
Super interesting stuff.
Which part did you like the best? Was it the part about Quilmody?
Yeah, and Big Daddy Kane.
Or Big Daddy Kane, or the Morgan Freeman part?
Yeah, definitely that.
I never got a chance to ask him if he got to actually direct Morgan Freeman in a scene. Because how would that go? Like, if, like, Nate's talented and all that stuff, but it's Morgan Freeman.
Right.
Like, you're there. That's the guy from Shawshank Redemption.
That's true. That is who it is.
Yeah, that's who I would think immediately. That would be my first thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, too. Or Seven.
Yeah, I love that movie, but that's one of those ones where I own that movie and probably never watched it again.
Yeah, but I still, he's synonymous for me with that movie.
Good point. Yeah, he is excellent. He's fantastic in it. And the Robin Hood. Speaking of Kevin Costner, he's in the Robin Hood movie.
Yeah, that's right. That's another. That was, and I liked that movie back then. I know it's probably doesn't hold up. I haven't watched it in a million years, but I truly enjoyed it when it came out.
The song still kicks ass.
Okay, I don't remember the song.
You remember the song.
Sing it.
It's the Bryan Adams, Everything I Do, I Do For You.
Sing it. You got to sing it.
Why would I sing it? I you know what? Now I feel like a jerk because I forgot to ask Nate Adams about his brother Brian.
Wow.
So there's that.
Okay, all right.
You're not going to listen to the interview. But you know what the kicker is? You know who he is? But like his family is best friends with the Troche family, Brian Troche.
Wow.
So I brought it up. Like, yeah, I remember him. Like, I was like, Nate, I sat down. Oh, you heard it on the interview. I'm not going to repeat it now. All right.
You're retelling it to me.
Yeah. Like, this is no way. And the listeners have to listen through you being retold. That's not how you do podcasts.
Okay. All right.
All of a sudden, we're going to get a bunch of refunds coming back on the Patreon. Whoa. Spoke too fast on that one. All right. Challenge for next week is our monthly challenge, and that is my hometown, your hometown, our hometown. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better, do both and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram. And we'll check that out for next week. Website, Adam.
Nowhere.
Still nothing for you.
Yeah, I'm never doing one.
Follow Adam on Instagram, though.
Yeah, sometimes I do. I'm posting more lately, trying to do at least one thing a week. This time, I posted the photo that I eventually just posted, so it's kind of weak. But listeners got an early sneak preview because I posted the photo of my wife and her sister earlier this week, and a black and white version, which I did not use for the podcast. So there you go, sneak peek. Yeah.
Check that. Yeah, check it. Adam Two Hosers, right? That's what you're called.
Yeah, and I usually, you know, link it to the regular Two Hosers. Do I hashtag that?
I think you tag us.
I tag us. It's not a hashtag. I tag us. That's right.
Yeah, you put the @ on there versus the hashtag.
Yeah, and I do also occasionally, if you're one of the lucky ones, you know, like other people's photos. I'm trying to do some of that. I look at listener photos and then I give some people likes. Only ones I actually like, though. So you should,
you don't like.
Well, yeah, or I don't look. I only look at a handful. But yeah, the ones I like, I actually like. I don't just hand out free likes. That's not what I do.
All right. Yeah. No like for likes.
No, I don't. That's not how I play.
All right, I'm bored of this. You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.